It's that time again for the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby, the playoff edition, a divisional playoff edition of the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Thank you for everyone tuning in to our live stream, whether that's on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. Also to all our regular podcast listeners on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and so many others. Thank you for being here. Glad you could be here. We're glad we could be here because it's time that finally the Eagles get to play again. Not that I'm complaining that they had a week off, because it helped a lot of people get rested and well. And I actually got to just enjoy some football, kind of like Devontae Smith in this picture right here, how Eagles fans are watching Super Wild Card Weekend since they have the number one seed. And I love this couch that Devontae has, man. I need one of these. This is the lounging couch right there to be able to watch. It's a bed. That's a freaking bed. But it's perfect. I enjoyed the games this past weekend, letting everything unfold. Was not surprised that the Giants beat the Vikings, and we're going to talk about that, I'm sure. But that's the opponent. Again, the sixth time in third time we get to face the Giants, which is crazy. Before we get into that game, I do want to talk about the previous Giants game, because we had some accolades that came out of that we want to touch base on, so I want to run through these real quick. Jake Elliott was named Special Teams Player of the Week, and how could he not be with five field goals in that game against the Giants, as well as Hassan Reddick was named Player of the Month for the NFC, which is outstanding and much deserved. Hassan Reddick is tearing it up, and everything that I've read about his attitude going into these playoffs is he is excited. This is his first time in the playoffs. So he's chomping at the bit to get something done. Also, our All-Pro team was nominated and mentioned. So first-team All-Pro, we have Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, well-deserved. Always, those guys are always up there for All-Pro. Our second-team All-Pro members are Hassan Reddick, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and James Bradbury. No real complaints there. I thought Jalen maybe should have been first-team, but that is what it is. I'm not going to complain about it. But while we're speaking of Jason Kelce, we're going to give him some love real quick. Jason Kelce, his All-Pro selection, he's only the eighth center in the history to be named first-team All-Pro five times. Outstanding. The seven are already in the Hall of Fame. So we know Kelce's Hall of Fame bound. He's a Hall of Fame center without a doubt. So that's outstanding. Another interesting note about Kelce's All-Pro nomination. Kelce and Jack Christensen, a Hall of Fame safety with the Lions in the 50s, are the only sixth-round picks in NFL history to make five All-Pro teams. The 34-year-old Kelce is also the Eagles' oldest All-Pro since the 35-year-old Chuck Bednarik did it, a big old Chuck, in 1960. And finally, Jason Kelce has now, with 106 games, has passed Brent Celek with 175 for the fifth most games played in franchise history. So you want a durable man. The guy has been the face of the Eagles for quite a long time. He bleeds green. We know this. We love him. So congrats to Jason Kelce for those accolades. Another person that needs to get accolades coming out of the Giants game is TJ Edwards with his tackle numbers at the end of this season, which is just outstanding. He comes away with the most tackles by an Eagle since 1994. The year that tackles started being consistently recorded. He had 159 tackles in 2022. And by comparison, Alex Singleton had 130 in 2021, D'Amico Ryans 127 in 2013, and Edwards 125 in 2021. So TJ Edwards has been a big solid rocket linebacker for this franchise. You know, with him, Kazir White, and Reddick, We struck gold this year at that position. So I want to say congrats to everything coming out of that last Giant game. There was a lot that we had, a lot of accolades right after that, a lot going on with the Eagles having the time off, getting healthy, getting ready for this game, and that's what we're getting ready to talk about. We got the Giants coming to town on January 21st, Saturday night, 8:15, prime time at the Link. Brendan Graham here on the pitcher. He's been sick the last couple of days, but expected to play. To be honest, all Eagle players are expected to play coming into this game. And this is the big slogan for this weekend. If you haven't seen the videos, the hype videos, and it comes from a Jalen Hurts press conference where he started talking about what Philly is and what Philly means to the people that are here. And then everybody just talked about it. It's 12-hour, working a 12-hour shift and then coming home and going to the stadium for a game or whatever you got to do. You know, this is a blue-collar town, and nobody who is not a Philly fan is not going to understand what a Philly thing is. And so it's time to get ready for this game. And in this game, coming out Saturday night, will be Malcolm Jenkins, Brent Celek, and Torrey Smith serving as honorary captains for the game on Saturday. So some guys from the Super Bowl 52 team from 2017, hopefully to drop a little bit of magic on this team. And here's another thing about this is the fact that they're playing on a Saturday night. And this is a tweet that is hilarious. The NFL has no idea what it's doing scheduling an Eagles playoff game in the link for Saturday at 8:15. They're actually daring Philadelphians to drink for 12 hours before the game. It would have been wiser to have the 4 o'clock start for the Eagles. I would appreciate that. That place, there are going to be some drunk sons of bitches at that game. It's going to be outstanding. So I'm dying to see what the crowd is like. It's been a couple of weeks for football for them. I know one guy who's really fired up, and that's Lane Johnson. He tweeted this out on 15 January, just about 5 days ago, knowing that it's game week, and he's telling everybody he's ready to play. He did an awesome hype video where he had a WWE belt, and he walks in from the outside and was like, you know, put the belt over his shoulder. Oh, you thought I was done? All right, we're coming back. So it's great to see Lane Johnson back for this week. And this also coming out from the Philadelphia press office. This is a Jalen Hurts quote this week, said, when challenges or different things are thrown in front of you, you have to find a way to overcome them. And that is where my mind is. The point that we're trying to get at here going into this game is that I think the Eagles are ready. I think that they're healthy. The only person that is on the injury report of any significance is Avonte Maddox. But it looks like they're going to put CJ back at nickel corner for Avonte and Reed Blankenship at CJ spot is at safety. So we're okay. We got Mike Epps, who's played outstanding at the other safety spot. Bradberry and Slay ready to go. They're ready to prove themselves after the flack they took after the last few games. So everybody's healthy. I mean, let's be honest. You know, Jalen Hurts is not 100% from the shoulder, but he's a full participant in practice. Lane Johnson has the torn abductor muscle, but he's not getting surgery until after the playoffs, but he's a full participant in practice. So going into this game, you're about as healthy as you're going to get in a playoff game at home Saturday night. What's your vibe going into this game, Tubby?
Well, when it comes to the Eagles fans, you know, them getting drunk all day. Well, the thing is this, the Eagles are used to being in these positions. The Philadelphia in the last 20 years are no strangers to this environment, this situation. We've been playing primetime football for about 20 years, man. Probably a little more than 20 years. I would be worried if these were Dallas Cowboys fans that haven't been, you know, winning consistently and have been in the playoffs consistently like the Eagles have. But we've been here, man. And our fans, I want them at their best, even if it's that they're drunkest. Because you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. They're just obnoxious in general. So you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But no, man, I think coming into this game, I think last week was much needed. It seemed like we really did need that week off with just how we stumbled into the playoffs. Not stumbled in. It's kind of crazy when you say you stumbled in the first place. It sounds weird to me. Like if I was listening to a fan complain about his Eagles, I'd be like, what? You guys know you were 13-1 at one point. Like you know how lucky you guys are to sit down for 14 weeks straight and your team only lose once. You know what type of luxury that is to watch as a fan. See, it is a luxury. But I do think, man, when it comes to the Giants, we got the best draw, not meaning that we're going to just walk over them, but it's a team that we've beaten twice. I'm not going to shy away from that. We beat this team twice this year when they had their best guys on the field. This wasn't a backup. Daniel Jones didn't complete that game. But my main concern is I'll know how this game is going to go probably after the Eagles' first offensive drive.
Really?
Because if they don't run Jalen, you go, okay, so we're still worrying about that shoulder. Then what comes from that? My thing is the Eagles' success this year has come from them to be able to play their type of football, meaning everybody in every position played to their strengths this year. And that was the, that's why we went on such an incredible run this year. But, yeah, man, if I'm not saying we run Jalen a lot, but if it, if Jalen is diving 2 yards before he takes a hit, I'm like, man, that's, if he's getting rid of the ball ultra quick, man, that could be a problem. If he, you're just throwing it to the sidelines, that could be a problem. The healthy Eagles, I feel very confident because they're confident. You got a lot of guys with a lot on the line here, a lot of contracts. I don't want to, you know, it is still a business. You got CJ, he wants another contract. You have Miles Sanders, he wants a contract with the Eagles. He literally said he wants to stay here in Philadelphia. You have Jalen. Jalen's still working for his contract. We have only paid Jalen $6 million in total, I believe, since we've had him. That is just, he's played better than $6 million over 3 years. I'll tell you that. With the All-Pro, I thought it was appropriate that he got second, only because Patrick Mahomes, man, it's just Patrick Mahomes. So he's probably going to be the league MVP. Your best ability is still going to be your availability, and Patrick Mahomes was available all year for his team while securing the same number one seed, you know, that the Eagles secured while breaking an NFL record of total yards. So that was going to be a lot to go up against, you know, to usurp one Patrick Mahomes in that first spot. But it was brilliant. I mean, we have an all-pro quarterback, right? That's awesome. And that's awesome, you know, and all-pro line, which we already knew. But I will speak on some things. Not surprised my Mailata wasn't there. Been calling it all year on that pass blocking. I knew it was going to come. And Slay, I cussed out Slay last week. He running his mouth too much. And there you have Bradberry, who we haven't heard a word from all year. All pro. Just play, bro. Just play, bro. I know you in Philly. I know you get a lot of interaction for the fans. But you haven't backed up your mouth in about since the Dallas game. I can't remember the last big play from Slay. Pun intended. Right. So I just want, I'm not down in my birds, but I want him to really focus. I think he's been burning a lot of calories elsewhere. And I understand when you come from playing for a franchise like Detroit and you just constantly lose, and then you go on a run like this where you've never even experienced this. You've never even been in the playoffs before, besides last year. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is your first scene that you never experienced this. Now, you know, you're going over the top with it, but, I'm glad Slay, because it humbled him. I wanted him to be so nasty in these playoffs. I want him to know, dang, your boy Bradberry over there is an all-pro. You're not second team, at least. All-pro. Right. Even when you look at the football focus numbers, he doesn't pop out. You got young guys that are coming in and shutting up. Patrick Surtain shutting up and balling out. You didn't hear a word from Surtain all year. He's a monster in Denver. Sauce talks, but he backs it up. But he backs it up. He plays hard. So, yeah, man, shout out to all the birds that went all that got all pro. But, yeah, back to the Giants game, man. I think we got the best draw we could ask for. We just need to go out there and execute. Stop Saquon. I think we'll be fine, man.
I agree. It's kind of weird that it potentially could be the Eagles playing the NFC East all the way to get to the Super Bowl, potentially, if the Cowboys upset the 49ers, which I think is possible. It's very possible that they upset the 49ers on Sunday. And so the Eagles would end up, if their road to the Super Bowl would be through their own division. They have to beat the Giants, who they already played twice. They have to beat the Cowboys, who they've already played twice. And that's just crazy to me to think about that could actually happen. Now, speaking of the NFC East, I just want to point out, I do have my NFC East conquered Division Champs 2022 hat that just came in the mail. I got my East Concord East t-shirt that came in. I also got this lovely piece of artwork. I don't know if we'll be able to get it on the camera. There we go. NFC East Champions for suitable for framing that I got framed. I'm excited about that. I ordered it all as soon as they won the division. Now, that's not all I want. It's just that, you know what? You don't win a division every year. So I'm like, I saw the locker room stuff and I said, give me some of that right there. In order to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to play their division. They're going to have to conquer the NFC East all over again. So we know that the Giants went 9-7-1. They tied the Commanders. They've not been the best of teams in these playoffs. You're right. The only problem is it's a division opponent, and they've already seen us twice, and we know each other way too much. If this had been any other 9-7-1 team, I would feel really, really confident. You are right. Out of all the teams that we could have played, whether that would have been Dallas, the Giants, or the Seahawks, or Tampa Bay, I think that the Giants are probably the best match opponent for us.
Right.
And you know, what we did to them, when I was looking back, what we did to them 6 weeks ago, because this is the third time that they're going to play the Giants in 6 weeks, which is unbelievable because of the scheduling. Win the game 48-22, that was really the last great game the Eagles played, the last complete game the Eagles played, where everything was firing on all cylinders. They'd come off the blowout win over the Titans. They blew out the Packers, let them back in the game, but scored 40 points against the Packers. And then we had that Bears game, which was a 2 touchdowns lead at one point, but it was ultimately disaster. And then you had 2 games of Gardner Minshew where it was, you know, the Dallas game was what it was, but the defense gave up a ton of points. And so that really hurt. They had the 4 turnovers. You had the turnovers in the Saints game for Minshew and the offense not doing much. And then the Giants game just kind of the playing against backups, it was very tentative. So we need the Eagles to come out in this game, like you said, we'll see what the first possession looks like. But we need the Eagles to come out and attack from the get-go. They need to put their foot down and not be feeling out the Giants. This is not a time to be feeling out a team. I don't think that they will be tentative. Watching their practices this week, they look focused. They look very serious, very intense, and I think that it means a lot to them. It's like we can't let this 14-3 season just go away and lose in the division round. And I agree. If they lose in the NFC Championship in a close game to either the 49ers or the Cowboys, I'd be disappointed. I would be disappointed, but if they lose to the Giants this weekend, I'll be devastated because it's a waste. At least if you win this game against the Giants, you got something to build on for next season. It's still a waste and a shame that you would lose in the NFC Championship game, but at least you got there. Right. You know, you got to the Final Four. There's a lot. For me, like you said, the way you're going to see is how the Eagles are going to do is how that first offensive possession is. For me, it's really going to be the first and second defensive possession for the Eagles, for the Giants, rather, because watching how Gannon plays this team. Now, the interesting thing about the Vikings defense that the Giants just faced, and Daniel Jones threw for over 300 yards, and he ran for 70. This meme right here, the Cheeto used as a deadbolt, is what the Vikings defense looked like. They could not stop anything. And watching that game, and I watched it rather intently, I thought that the Giants got the benefit of playing a horrible. This is not the first time the Vikings have given up a ton of points this season. Their defensive coordinator plays a worst soft zone shell zone coverage than the Eagles do. There are guys just standing around doing nothing for most of that game. I cannot recall a time in that game where they stopped the Giant drive. That's horrible playoff football from a defense. So if Gannon pulls the same crap and runs that same soft zone, Daniel Jones will eat them alive. He can be an accurate passer if you don't cover his receivers. But if Gannon actually tries to be a little bit aggressive, let Hassan Reddick come after the quarterback. I think I had a dream this week, which was so funny. On Wednesday, woke up Thursday morning, and I was right before, you know how you can remember stuff right before you wake up? Mm-hmm. I had a dream that Daniel Jones got sacked 6 times in this game, and 3 of them by Hassan Reddick, where he just whipped him to the ground, and unlike the Giant Viking game, no call for roughing the passer. And I woke up feeling, yes, we're in the NFC Championship. Then I had to go, no, we're not. that was all just a dream. But to me, that's the important thing. It always has been. It always will be for me, is how Gannon runs this defense. We've got the guys that can win on defense. It's where he puts them. Now, the significant thing that I want to point out is that Jonathan Gannon has finished his third interview with the Texans. And I've said from the jump that I do think he's the front runner. I thought he was going to get hired there last season when they hired Lovie Smith, and then all this stuff happened in Miami with Brian Flores, where he had to, you know, they had the discrimination lawsuit. So the Texans were, ooh, we can't hire another white guy, and hired Lovie Smith, to me, which is a travesty, to give him a 1-year deal so they could let everything cool down, which is just, that's a whole nother topic for another show. That being said, though, Gannon, I think, is their guy. So for me, I think this is, like you said, Miles Sanders wants to do well. You know, Hassan Reddick wants to do well in the playoffs. These guys with contract years, Bradberry, CJ, Gannon does too. Gannon knows that the Texans are going to be watching this game going, is this our guy?
Yeah,
for sure. And if he lays an egg on Saturday, maybe the Texans go, let's look at some of these other candidates. So I know Gannon's going to try to put his best effort out there as well. So that's my hope anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I tell you what, if he doesn't do it, if he plays a really soft coverage, it's going to be a dogfight. And that's the kind of thing the Eagles don't want, is a dogfight. They just don't.
I just wish, you know, at some point, you know, Sirianni has to also, you know, have to talk to him as well, too. Because if Sirianni's not, here's what I don't get about Gannon. You have an offensive-minded coach, right? You always have an offensive coordinator. But you have an offensive-minded coach. And what are your conversations like? You know, I mean, Sirianni has to know that he can shred his own defense. So then what do you do about that? That's the only thing that's really weird about the Gannon situation is just, you know, I just would love to know what the talks are like between Gannon, Sirianni, Stetson as a team to help each other, even when you're scouting. I'm sure they're like, hey, man, you know, throw it to where you think I'm weak at so I can see it, you know, so my defense can get better. But we still just have our weaknesses. But, you know, the football side of me, like, every team has a weakness. The Eagles is the center of the field right now. It's the center of the field, but every team has it. Some teams it's on our line. It's on their line. It's not on our line. Some teams it's at their corners. It's not at our corners. Some teams at their safety. It's not at our safety. It's in that middle. Mm-hmm. We have good linebackers. So that's why it's so crazy. But I think we've settled for, we're going to beat you a certain way. And that way is, we're going to beat your quarterback up. We're going to rush the throw. We're going to make you make a lot of mistakes. And we have an offense high-powered enough that I hope you can catch up after we've hit your quarterback 6 or 7 times. And that's a very big difference from the past. That's why, you know, I'm not that hard on Gannon, because I've seen his growth. At one point, we weren't getting to the quarterback at all. Now we led the NFL in sacks. So it's like, you know, what do you want? You know, we have a corner. I mean, we have a guy that led. We didn't get a lot of interceptions, a lot of takeaways, but we have a guy that, you know, tied with the league and missing a lot of games. I think CJ came in either first. He's somewhere in the top 5 of interceptions this year. So, you know, I do agree with you, man, as far as, you know, those two defensive drives. Yeah, basically our bread and butter. So how does Jalen, the two things that have got us here this year, our defensive line, and I'm not going to say Jalen Hurts, but our overall play of Jalen, because when he wasn't in, it was like, man, we're definitely missing something. We're missing some mojo, a spark. We're missing leadership, something. Something is different when he's not in there. So in those two biggest factors coming in is, how does Jalen play and how does our defensive line play? If both of those things play well, Jalen plays well and our defensive line plays well, I think the Giants are in for it again, because that's how we beat them the first time. We beat Daniel Jones up and we just stuck it to him, man. Our every drive looked crisp. We just looked like a team that Jalen threw 3 interceptions to and was real down on. When you see that picture of him kneeling down, that just that disappointment of my lot. I still hope that some of that fire is still in Jalen, because he's beaten them twice this year. I know one, he knew he was going against the B team. So I don't think he's going to come in overconfident. I think he's still going to remember that what this team is capable of doing to him, and hopefully that'll keep him focused along with the rest of the Eagles, man. So line does well. I think we do well because we get the ball back a lot more. We have to run the football. Mm. I mean, at some point, we got to stop kidding ourselves. And look, man, yeah, we have a quarterback that can do a lot, but we also have a line that can do a lot. Let's just use all of it. I just don't want it to be off balance, like 80-20, you know, where it's the second half and Miles Sanders just getting the second carry. It's like, what? That's I don't know how you even explain that. I don't know what your plan is. If your running back is just a decoy, he's not big enough to sit back there and block. So why do you just have him out there? Why do you have your small running back just out there, just not giving him the ball, man? And I also think it plays into your line. I think if we ran the ball more this year, I think Sanders could have had a, you know, Gannon makes the statement, like, if I'd have dropped Hassan Reddick back, he would have had 25 sacks. Well, we'd have ran the ball more. Miles Sanders could have very well had the rushing title this year, because he ran for a lot of yards, and it felt like you didn't even give him the ball.
Right.
Is the whole point. So, yeah, man, feel really strong about these birds, man. Definitely the first couple drives. I'll give Jalen at least two drives just to see what's up. Because I don't really hold them against that offense that they played against the Giants. I think they tried to show the Giants absolutely nothing. I think they tried to go at it like a flag football game. We're not going to get touched. We're just going to get through this. We're that much better than you that we can sleepwalk and still work. And we were up 16-0, and we're all still pissed, but the Eagles are really dominating this game. You know, they can't really do anything. So, yeah, man, we stopped Saquon. Saquon, if we get Saquon going, I think we'll start having those old memories of getting gashed earlier in the season. But we stopped Saquon, man. I think we'll be fine, bro.
Yeah, there's so much to discuss there, because, like you said, if they're going to look at game film, they're not going to look at the game at the end of the season. They're going to look at that 48-22 game. And I do think that if Jalen is healthier, we're going to see more RPOs rather than putting, like they've been doing with Gardner Minshew, putting Miles back behind the quarterback and letting him go at it, which is just clearly signaling run to the defense, which I thought was, why are you doing that? Put him in shotgun next to the quarterback side so they don't see run all the time. And I think you'll see more of that with Jalen Hurts. But you also got to expect that the Giants are watching that 48-22 game and knowing that there's more there, that what the Eagles offense is going to be doing. So they're going to be coming prepared for that. So it's up to Steichen to counter that with something more creative. I do think we'll see more runs wherever Boston Scott is concerned. And what's funny is the Giants are taking a lot of questions about Boston Scott now because of him being the Giant killer, and they're not particularly happy about that. So it's kind of funny to think that they're going to be focused on one of our backups instead of like A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or Dallas Goedert. Because to me, be honest, if we get Dallas Goedert on the tight end screen, you get Miles Sanders, you know, coming out of the backfield on RPO where you get the guards pulling, you can do more damage than Boston Scott can do. And then when Boston Scott tends to do his damage to the Giants is late in the games. He tends to put them away when they're in the ropes. So we're not going to see Boston Scott start or have to worry about him. So the thing about watching film is I think the Giants are going to be, you know, they're going to know the tendencies, but it goes both ways. The Eagles should not expect the same Giant team. They should look at that Vikings film to see what they did on offense so they don't run the same type of defenses and schemes and let Daniel Jones throw for 300 yards. When it goes to the defense, like you're talking about getting to the quarterback, my only concern is if we're getting a good pass rush, but we're leaving receivers open in the zone, then you, like with the 3rd and 30 against the Cowboys, you're giving escape valves to Jones, and we don't need that. We don't need him having Galladay or anybody open or Gage or open down the field to be able to get, escape and throw to somebody who's wide open, like you said, over the middle. Here's the deal, though, that kind of surprises me about this team that I've noticed this week is that I am not 100% sure how seriously the Giants are taking this game. I know it's a division playoff game and they're fired up, but I've watched both practices and video of both practices all week. I don't watch regular sports media. I just watch Philly sports media because I don't like the national media. Everybody in the national media is picking the Giants to either win or cover the spread. So whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, after the Vikings game, they're you know, been crowned as back, and Daniel Jones is now better, the best quarterback in the NFC East. Go away with that, guys. Anyway, the thing is that if you watch the Giant practices, it's all dancing. They're having a big party. They've been partying since they beat the Vikings. They partied in the locker room, which is fine. But then every practice, you had Daniel Jones out there doing the gritty in practice. You have the guys running around. And you see the Eagles the only one that maybe he's run his mouth is CJ, but that's what he always does. But he's really just talking shit to the, because that was a big, great piece about Sirianni saying how CJ just doesn't, he talks shit with everybody, including, as Nick Sirianni. So to me, it's like, it's two different mindsets. Now, if that keeps the Giants loose and gives them ability to play better, so be it. But to me, if you're not really having a hard practice and getting ready for your opponent, maybe they're the ones that are overconfident. I think if anybody is, I think it's going to be the Giants, because I think the Eagles right now are more tight, and that could be a problem.
Oh yeah,
they're more with a lot to lose. The Giants are playing with house money. They've already won their game, their playoff game that nobody thought that they would do. Mm-hmm. And now everything else is just, you know, gravy. Everything else is just bonus. So if they can go into Philly and win, whatever, you know. So I think that's the attitude they're taking, which could be very dangerous. So, it's so much that on one hand, I think that if the Eagles do everything right, they could blow this team out. It could be out of hand by halftime. But the other part of me says is if the Eagles come out too tight, making mistakes on the offensive line with the friggin', you know, ineligible man downfield penalties, holding penalties, and then a costly turnover here or there, momentum shifts like we've seen against the Washington game and the Saints game, could really come back to bite us. And we don't need that in this game. So it's one of those that I'm trying not to be nervous. I'm more just trying to be excited and anticipating. But it's hard not to be nervous. This is the playoffs. This is if you lose, you're out. And I don't want it to be done yet, dude. I don't want it to be over. More than anything, I want to see this go at least until the next round. Win a playoff game. And so I think that's why more people are picking the Giants or at least on the Giants side as a buzz pick, because Jalen has not won a playoff game. And this is the game where he has to arrive. If the Eagles win this game, they tell the world and the NFL that we are for real. The 14-3 record isn't a fluke. It isn't a soft schedule. We're a damn good team. And the team that you just hyped up for beating the Vikings, you now have to respect going into the NFC Championship game. It's probably one of the biggest games in Philadelphia Eagles history. You know, next to the Super Bowl win and the Super Bowl in 05. It's the biggest one, man. You got to get this game out of the way and solidify this new team as this is a team to come for the next several years.
I think the added pressure is because it's like, man, it's the Giants. It's the team that you should beat. The line has been pushing like crazy. It started out at 6.5. Now it's at 7.5.
Right.
So the money is on the birds. This has nothing to do with me. This is money. The money are definitely on the birds because they don't push that line for no reason. They push it because they don't want to lose money on what is perceived to be an easy cover. But I think one thing that plays into our strengths that we bring into this game is Hockenson killed them last week. Mm-hmm. The Giants, I know they lost. It was 24-24 before Jones put together that nice drive towards the end, but it's still as bad as the Vikings look. It was still 24-24 in the fourth quarter, somehow, some way. And, you know, Daniel Jones put together a nice drive and Saquon closed it out for him. I won't even say close it out, but he put him ahead.
Right.
But Hockenson killed them, 10 catches, over 100 yards. Irv Smith scored a touchdown. So we know this team. Mm-hmm. We know this team also. But the point is that we have Dallas Goedert back, healthy. Got him another week off that shoulder injury. It's a lot of little things here because we need him to block, man. So I think if we have all our weapons in place, man, like I said, I think because it's one of those things because we know we can beat this team. It's one thing if you think, like, it probably wouldn't be like if you were going up against probably any other team, it would just be like a toss up. One thing that the Eagles are benefiting from is that because Dallas did beat the Bucs, there is so much attention on the 49ers and Cowboys game because they have the same fan bases. Like, if you really look at who's at the game, they're like the same type of folks, man. I even seen a couple memes and stuff out there with like different clothes and outfits that the different Niners and Cowboys fans, but they have this same type of environment, man. And so all the attention has just been on them. And I think that's been good for the Eagles because you come in number one seed. Nobody's even talking about you. Sound familiar?
Right.
Sound familiar?
Exactly.
And we also went up against a lot of teams that we thought we were better than. Like, we look at that whole playoff run, probably the Falcons were probably the only team that I thought were even with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just because of Matt Ryan, really, and I think they still had Julio Jones and all of that good stuff. So you're like, man, this is a squad here. But the Vikings, once they Case Keenum, we knew it was only a matter of time before Case Keenum is the reason why he wasn't a starter. He kind of got thrown in. We just felt like he was just on a cloud, Case Keenum. Mm-hmm. And we went in there and we made it look like he was on a cloud, which I think is going to happen to Brock Purdy this weekend, man. I think every quarterback, with the exception of guys like Brady, and Brady has had some games where he didn't need to win the game. Like, see, he won the Super Bowl 13-3. I mean, man, you tell me that another team only gives up 3 points in the Super Bowl, the other team's probably going to win. But man, I think they're going to get after him, man. I think Dallas is going to win that game. And like you said, man, we may have to go through the NFC East to get to the Super Bowl because I have Dallas beating the Niners. And, man,
so
if we just settle down, I think the Eagles will be fine. What's up?
So what I was going to say, you bring up a great point because I was saying this to my son the other day, is that I'm not a Cowboys fan by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not rooting for him to do this. But we know that the two best defenses, well, the three best defenses are Dallas, Philly, and San Francisco right now, and not necessarily in that order. But if you look at their run that the 49ers went on when Brock Purdy came in, and you could just pick it up in November 21st at Arizona. They played Arizona, beat them 38-10. They beat New Orleans 13-0. They beat the Dolphins 33-17, who have an abysmal pass defense. They beat Tampa Bay, who we know that their defense has struggled all year. They beat Seattle 21-13, who has had an up-and-down pass defense. They beat Washington 37-20, again, mediocre pass defense. They beat the Raiders 37-34, another mediocre pass defense. And then they beat Arizona again, 38-13. There is nobody on this list that has an outstanding pass defense. I beg you to tell me. And if you even go back,
those teams are in the playoffs, even.
Yeah, and then they beat Seattle in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then they beat Seattle again in the playoffs. So yeah, man. So, and that was a close game. I think Dallas is better than Seattle. But I'm sorry, go on, make your point.
Well, so the thing is again exactly what you're saying is what Brock Purdy has not seen yet, and I'm not selling the kid short. I got to give him props for coming in off the bench, third quarterback, last man in the draft, and be able to manage this team. Now, every third string quarterback that's last in the draft would love to come off the bench and have Christian McCaffrey and freaking Ayuk and Kittle and all that and Debo to be able to go to. And Brock Purdy's got that, but he's done it regardless of who his weapons are. He's done it.
Absolutely.
But the Cowboys' pass defense is better. Their pass rush is better. I'm not saying it's better than the 49ers defense. I'm just saying it's better than any team the 49ers have seen.
Right.
And to me, I think that, yeah, Dallas playing and they're not playing in bad weather. They're going to go in there and Brock is going to see something he hasn't seen before. Pressure.
Did you see
in his face
this weekend where every time it's like the 49ers will get to third down very quickly. It's the first time I've actually just watch, not red zone clips in and out. Just watch the Niners. Just watch Brock Purdy talking down for not just the highlights they show you when the team wins. Talking about every play. What a guy is, you know, capable of. It could be a drop pick that you don't see on SportsCenter, you know, and you just go, oh, it could be a really bad throw or some really bad decisions. What I've noticed, man, when all else fails, they just run Ayuk or Samuels on a drag. They just drag him. He just drops it. Every time. And then finally, boom, it'll be like a broken coverage. He'll make the right play. I'm not taking anything away from him. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see how that works against Vander Esch. Just dragging across. It's just the little things. I was like, man, that's really weak of Seattle to let them get those. I wasn't impressed. But I was impressed because it's still the NFL. He had an incredible game. Mm-hmm. But I was just trying to see the special thing that everybody saw because I hadn't really watched them yet. I just took the word for it. But I was just like, man, Debo bailed him out of a few situations yeah. where if it wasn't even just Debo, somebody else would have been tackled. It's just Debo's special. He just keep making plays after play. Every time you think he's down, he's just not down. And it's just annoying, man. It's just he's like having a running back slash wide receiver. He's a very unique player to have yes. on your team. And then you have Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. I mean, you just have special. Where? Name me another player. I'm just being honest with you. That if you already made the point, I'm just nailing the point.
Oh, yeah.
That everywhere you look is legit all pro.
Yeah.
Behind you, all pro. Debo, all pro. Kittle, all pro. Your three major spots, wide receiver, tight end, running back, are all pro type of guys. Kittle on any day is the best that can look like the best tight end in football, just like Kelce on any given day. The Andrews, the Kelce's, I'm going to throw my boy Goddard in there when he's healthy because, you know, he gets a lot of 8 to 9, 10 catch games. These guys, he has like all pros everywhere you look, man. And then left tackle, Williams. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trent Williams has went to the 49ers and it's like he jumped in the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
He is playing amazing at left tackle. I mean, when he drags, he like he's gained, like he's faster. And you know how big he is, and he's moving that fast. Remind me of like a faster Jason Peters, whatever. But right.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, you have all these, you're really surrounded by not just guys that like football, but are dogs that yeah. I named. He's Debo, dog. McCaffrey, dog. These guys are Kittle. Kittle loves the block. You ever see his highlights of just his block? Oh, yeah. You got guys that are just dogs, and Ayuk is a special talent. So I think a few knocks this weekend, and when the team now has to kind of depend on him, he hasn't had any pressure, really, if that makes sense.
Right. That's what I said. That
pressure hasn't really been put on him. And sometimes you get to see what happens when you get pressure on a quarterback or when you actually have to tell him, yo, man, you have to win this game. Not, man, it's been nice. I can't believe on this ride. It was kind of like the Minshew situation. I think that's why people got down on Minshew. It was like, damn, dude, like we needed you to win these games. Like, it's the first time we've actually asked you to do anything. Come on, man, just get us one of these. And, right. and it just didn't happen. I just think that was a dip in the morale, too, because you have, like, this hope, and you know you have this really good roster. Man, but Brock Purdy, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he walked away with some award at the end of the year. Probably going to be hard because a couple rookies had some good seasons this year. But anywho, man.
Yeah.
I just think Dallas is going to be. I think Dallas is going to advance, and hopefully it's the Eagles as well.
It will be interesting. Now nothing's a given, but like you said, and we know all the weapons that San Francisco had, and I took a lot of flack on message boards. I represent our podcast when I go on some of the message boards. I do things as the Where Eagles Dare podcast, and I said during the McCaffrey trade, I said this is a game changing trade. I say the Eagles need to make this trade. I don't care if they give up the New Orleans number one. And I was shouted down. He's always injured. I'm like, he's not as injured as you think he is. He was being run into the ground in Carolina. Now he is not the workhorse that is doing every single down. McCaffrey is a game changer. Had the Eagles made that trade and given up their New Orleans number one and maybe a second rounder and another first round next year, whatever it took for the Niners to get him, I honestly believe that no one would be talking about anybody other than the Eagles right now because it would be a non-factor. I mean, I'm not trying to sell Miles Short. Miles Sanders is a very capable running back, and he's been outstanding, over 1,000-yard rusher. But McCaffrey, like the guy with the egg in his bicep, he's just built different. It's just a different type of player. Now, the other thing, like you said, that's what I was saying. I said, once Purdy sees somebody like Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence coming after him, that's not something they're used to. So a lot of people rag on the Eagles for their schedule, which is not that bad a schedule when we look in retrospect. Purdy's never seen real pressure. They're lucky that Seattle got a bunch of beneficial calls in their game against the Rams, or else they would have had to face Detroit last week. And while I think Detroit might not have beaten San Francisco, they would have beaten San Francisco up more.
There you go.
Than Seattle did. Seattle did not offer much of a test. They're just happy to be there. They made it in. Thank you. And then they just laid an egg in that game. But talking about the Eagles schedule versus the 49ers and everything like that, this stat came out. The Eagles were 7-1 against winning teams in the 2022 season. That's the best record versus winning teams since the Patriots went 7-1 against winning teams in 2010. And oh, guess what? The Patriots won the Super Bowl that year. And so it's one of those things where the Eagles don't get that credit. Everybody's, oh, soft schedule. But now we see the Lions almost make the playoffs, and they have a winning record. The Jaguars, not only did they make the playoffs, they upset the Chargers with that a massive come-from-behind win, which is just an unbelievable a feat. The amount of come-from-behind wins we've seen this year is ridiculous. But the Eagles have proven that if all these remaining teams that are out there, now they haven't played Cincinnati, Buffalo, or Kansas City, or the 49ers, but we've handled Dallas and we've handled Jacksonville pretty well. So I like what they're doing. Another stat to look at for the Eagles going into this game is these are the Eagles' ranks in the last 21 years as a dominant franchise. The amount of number one seeds, this is in the last 21 years. The Eagles have been the number one seed 5 times. The Eagles have won the division in the last 21 years 10 times, almost half the time. And the Eagles have been in the playoffs 14 out of 21 years. So the thing is, what kills me is that we're saying earlier that this game is what will kind of put the Eagles out there and say that this is the game that's going to make them contenders again. They should already be getting this respect. I don't know why we always have to deal with this, but I guess it goes back to what they said, you know, the whole mantra of this week. I don't know if you've seen any of the hype videos and everything, but it's been great. The mantra of this week is, it's a Philly thing. And this is the mantra of the playoffs, like when we had the underdog thing going on. It's a Philly thing. And I think what this is meant to do is unite all of us. No matter whether you live in Philly or whether you're a Philly fan, it's us against the world. It is that, and that's all it is, because no one is going to root for us. No one is going to pull for us. No one's going to care except Eagles fans. And that's just the way it is.
It's crazy that the Phillies just kind of went through the same thing. But I guess the Phillies deserved a little bit of their doubt because they came in last seed, right? Beat the Cardinals to make it in on the craziest game you'll ever see. Yep. To make it to the Segura, that play with Segura to hit. But anyway, I think it's been kind of riding since then, because the Eagles, when they were winning, I think they were undefeated still at the time, and they were, they were a big part of showing love. I think Kelsey showed up to the game, right, into the World Series game. So it is a Philly thing, man, and it's cool to see the two teams united, man, like that. But I'm not also surprised. And you just proved earlier what I said before when I was like, I'm not worried about our guys. We're used to doing this. We're not a team that's happy to be here. We've been here. We're trying to win. We finally won one in 2017, but we've always been around way longer than the 49ers. I'm sorry, the Cowboys fans.
Right.
More probably the Niners too, but the Cowboys fan more so. But I know the Niners went to 2 Super Bowls.
In the last 20 years, especially. Right. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Niners went to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And with Cap got him to the NFC Championship game when he threw that ball to Crabtree. That remember that famous, don't you try me like that? But they're still we're in and around. Right. The Niners fans were just, like I said, they were just in the Super Bowl against Kansas City not too long ago.
And they were back in, 2012, back in the day against the Baltimore Ravens in the Power Out Super Bowl, too.
That's true. So, wow, they've man, they've been
hanging around.
They've been hanging around. It's like when they're good, they're good. Like they just go. And when they suck, they absolutely are terrible, unwatchable. Yeah. So yeah, man, the NFC definitely has some dogs, and so does the AFC, man. This is probably one of the most entertaining playoffs I've probably ever watched. Or maybe I just appreciate the talent. The talent's super young.
Yeah.
I think I like the young guys winning.
So
just makes the game hopeful.
Exactly. It's like a new era is being brought in with the teams in the AFC. So before we go, we got a little bit of time left. Let's talk about the AFC side of the playoffs. We talked about the 49er-Dallas game. We talked about Philly Giants. We got teams in here. Now, Kansas City has been solidified as the contender for years now. Buffalo is getting there. Haven't been to a Super Bowl yet with Allen. But then you've got the upstart Bengals and the underdog Jacksonville. So let's talk about the Saturday game first. Jacksonville going into Kansas City as big underdogs. I think they're 8.5 right now. I haven't even gotten to 9.5. You know, you got to think that Jacksonville is just happy to be there after that Chargers game. And so they probably have, again, like the Giants, they're playing with house money. No one expects them to beat the Chiefs. No one does. But it's not impossible. Right. It's not impossible if things fall the right way. If Trevor Lawrence doesn't throw 4 interceptions in the first half, then it's possible that Jacksonville could hang around. Because did Jacksonville beat Kansas City earlier in the season? I have to look that up. Tell me your thoughts on the Colts, game, and I'll look that up. They beat the Colts.
The Colts beat them.
Yeah.
But the Jacksonville, I'm not sure if Jacksonville beat them. I don't have the spread. I don't have this game as being a blowout, as a lot of folks think. But, man, you can't pick against Kansas City right now. I'll tell you what, they won't come back from a 4 interception game because Mahomes will do something in the second half. You know, part of that was Herbert if he'd have got them anything in that second half, you know, that game would have been over, man. Just everything had to just work out so perfectly for them. But I'm definitely picking I'm definitely picking Kansas City Chiefs, man. I think, you know, it's really cold out here right now. And in Kansas City, is it a tough place to play, but it is pretty frigid. And all these Florida boys coming up here out of that nice old Jacksonville, Duval County weather, man, I think they're in for it, man, because nobody can stop Kelce on that team. And that's really what it comes down to. Nobody can stop Kelce. And they have so many little baby weapons around them that it just works. And you have the ultimate Megatron himself, man, you know, Patrick Mahomes, man. But, you know, here's a little fun fact. I'm going to put a unit on the Jaguars for the upset on the game.
Okay.
Just because it's worth it if it does happen. And then I think all these teams, and I wonder if Dougie P is on some type of magical ride. I look at that in sports too, that sometimes you can beat a better team, but, man, sometimes magic happens, man. I think during that Eagles Super Bowl run, I think it was a lot of magic there. Remember with the, I always think about that interception against Atlanta that they dropped before the end of the half.
Right.
You remember that interception that kick came off like his knee?
Yeah. Well, the guy it was caught.
Go ahead.
Torrey Smith caught the ball after it bounced. Yeah.
Dropped interception, came off of Torrey Smith's knee, and it was just like, this is meant to be.
Yeah.
Nobody can stop us. And it came to a point where I wasn't like numb. Like I felt like whatever the Eagles did, it didn't matter. They were going to win. And it was like this feeling, man. And obviously it was a unique feeling because it was unprecedented. Eagles had never won a Super Bowl before, but yet this diehard Eagles fan is feeling a little different. Doesn't feel like that. Whoa, us, you know, well, why not us? But more so like, I don't think anybody can stop what's happening right now.
Right.
You got the Philly with an illegal formation. You got only 6 guys on the line. It still went through. You have Clement with the shuffle of the arms and the touchdown still gets called through. Now, I'm not saying these were should have been called back, but it's like those things can go either way based off of how we've watched football. And to have Gene Steratore, I think if we had any other official besides Gene himself, man, that has the balls to go, you know what? That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make this bigger than me. Touchdown.
Yeah.
Woo! Because I thought the Clement, you know, I thought the Corey Clement touchdown could have went either way.
It could have. It could have. He had control. He had complete control. It was just moving it from one hand to the other. Mm-hmm. But he definitely wasn't bobbling it, and that's what they ruled. The same thing with the Zach Ertz when he took the two steps, and then when he landed in the end zone. Man took two steps, they had the ball. This wasn't a Dez Bryant thing.
Right.
He wasn't 100%. Turning around and falling. This was two steps, dove into the end zone, and then the ball comes out. Right. Much, much, much different thing. Right. But you're right. That
you have the also the Brady drop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Brady drop
before the Philly special.
It still doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a perfect play. They dialed that play in perfectly, and it probably would have went for seven.
Yeah.
But when it's your turn, man, sometimes nothing you can do, man. And I really feel like it, at times in football that it can happen. Sometimes it's your time, man. Everything just works out for you, man. Like, everything just works out. I always think about Baltimore winning that Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer just kicking field goals all year. All year. Well, anywho,
going back to that Atlanta game, you know, that to me was the toughest game of the entire playoffs. 1914, they had a chance to throw it to Julio in the corner of the end zone. It gets knocked down, and the Eagles win that game, and they struggled in the first half until that Torrey Smith play, and then ended up winning it with Foles. And then everybody thought, oh, well, the Vikings are going to run over them because they struggled against the Falcons, blow out the Vikings. And then, of course, the Super Bowl was just so much offense, and the defense had to hang on, giving 500 yards up to Brady. But anyway, looking at the Chiefs real quick, because, yeah, I was thinking of the Colts that had beat them earlier. The only teams the Chiefs have lost to this year is the Colts, the Bengals, and the Bills. That's who they've lost to this year. They did play the Jacksonville Jaguars on November 13th. And actually beat them 27-17 in Kansas City. So the 9-point spread, which is what it is right now, I just double checked it. It's pretty fair being in that Kansas City in the playoff environment. But again, any given Sunday, any given Saturday, in this case, it's going to be the first game at the 4 o'clock game on Saturday. It's a nice little warm up. It's the amuse bouche, if you will, of the weekend, and then we get the main course with the Eagles and the Giants that evening, and then the rest will all be dessert on Sunday. So going to Sunday, we've already talked about the 49ers and Cowboys, and we're talking about the two teams that have beaten the Chiefs this year playing against each other in Buffalo. What's interesting about this, and I'm just going to put it out there, and it's not a big deal. DeMar Hamlin, his health comes first. But had DeMar Hamlin not gotten hurt, I do believe the Bengals would have beaten the Bills that night. I just had this feeling that they were hype. They already had a 7-3 lead. They looked like the better team at that time. There's nothing to say that anything could have changed. There's no guarantees. But had the Bengals won that game, this game would have been played in Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken. So instead, they didn't play the game, and now they're playing in Buffalo. And so it kind of screws Cincinnati a little bit. But who cares? It's, you know, we're moving on. And so now Cincinnati's got to go to Buffalo, where it's going to be cold, but Cincinnati's used to that. Maybe not as cold in Cincinnati as it does get in Buffalo. This is to me going to be a lot of fun to watch. This is another one of those like Chiefs Bills from last year where it could be nothing but offense, just downfield passing. I'm excited for this game. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean the pleasure is definitely all of ours, man. To have I go back to those young quarterbacks again. You look at over in the AFC, all young guys. You got Mahomes. It's pleasure. I mean, at this point, it's just you might as well enjoy them. You got to watch him. He's must-see TV. Then you have a lot. You got Burrow in the Super Bowl last year. You have Josh Allen, who's, man, if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes, would probably have at least played in a Super Bowl. You know, you can't guarantee anybody wins one, but at least have played that shootout, basically the last person who got the ball wins type of football, man. And then you have T-Law, man, who's started out slow in his career, but in his second year with the right environment, right encouragement from the right coach who understands what you're going through, not some nerd, but coach that actually knows what you're going through, literally. So, and you can see the difference in it, man. And, but I have the, I think this is a toss up, man. It's so hard. I'm trying to call the game in my head, but it's just like, man, I'm going to go with the Bengals only because Burrow makes a little, he doesn't make as many mistakes as Allen, man. Now, I get why he's so confident. You know, I mean, look how many like third down called runs Allen gets. I mean, it's just straight up third down, third and five. Just give it to Allen. He'll fall forward for three or four. He's just so big. It's like a mobile Ben Roethlisberger. But man, I think I have to give it to Cincy for just not turning the ball over. Even though they weren't convincing last week, man, I thought, man, without that goofy play, I said, Ish, man, if they run that 100 times, he doesn't stick that ball out. I don't know what he was thinking. I think the moment got too big. I think his teammates were surprised he jumped and stuck that ball out. It was just, you just really can't account for it. It just makes no, most quarterbacks won't do that. So you're not going to get that lucky against Allen. He's going to stick his head in. Jalen Hurts have shown everybody how to do this. You know, they want to change the rules now because of Jalen. Did you see that?
Yes, I seen that. They've got players complaining that the Eagles are getting an unfair advantage because our quarterback can bench, you know, or can bench
squat 600.
Or squat 600. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, so squat 600. But yeah, so you've got a lot of sour grapes on a lot of teams. Man. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just when everybody's doing something good. So we'll see. They can't change it now. We're already in the season.
I'm taking the Bengals. Yeah. I'm taking the Bengals 24-17. On a defensive stop, man, on the last drive. But it's, you're not going to want to miss that one.
Yeah, I think
you make Sunday games are amazing.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. I think
amazing games to watch.
You make a good point about the Baltimore game. That was also a team facing a team for the third time and trying to beat them. And Cincinnati against Huntley, they came out play, and I think that's what the Eagles are in for this weekend, is that third game is that's why the name of this episode is Third Time Lucky with a question mark, because we need to make sure that we're focused on that, and not because Cincinnati, to me, if you ask me over and over again, who's better, the Bengals or Tyler Huntley led Baltimore Ravens, you could ask me 10 times, I'm going to tell you the Bengals. I don't care what, but it had Huntley not fumbled that ball at the one, we could be talking about the Ravens right now, still in the playoffs. Crazy. And the Bengals could have gone home. So it was that much of a difference maker to see that play happen. So in this game, on the flip side, the Buffalo Bills, good shout out to my son's Dolphins, they made the Bills look like an inept, mistake-prone franchise. The fumble that Allen had near the goal line that led to a touchdown, the interceptions, the constant interceptions thrown downfield, and like you said, Allen's mistake prone, especially when they get tight and nervous. My thing is I'm wondering if that wasn't the Bills Falcons game, where that was their first game, they're getting all that stuff out of their system, and then they can refocus against a good opponent. I think the Bills came into that Dolphins game going, look, we're playing against a kid from Kansas State, Skylar Thompson, yeah, you know, we got this. And all of a sudden they got too far in the hole playing around with that team, and that team nearly made him play. Could have very easily made him play. That game down to the end. So I think the Bills, that's a good wake-up call for them. I think this is, like you said, it's going to be a dogfight. I think the Bengals have a lot to prove. I think the Bills have a lot to prove. The Browns. Browns have nothing to prove other than if you notice they hired Jim Schwartz as their defensive coordinator. I want to play the Browns every game next year because that is, yeah, anyway. But I just think it's going to be a dogfight. I do think the Bills will edge it out at home and like a late field goal or something. It's going to be crazy, but it's really just a prediction. In all of these games this week, we could be completely wrong. Now, I think the Jacksonville, Kansas City, I think that's really hard to get wrong, but there's still a chance. Buffalo, Cincinnati could go either way. Eagles, Giants, definitely. The Eagles should. The Eagles, to me, are the better team, but the Giants could come away with the upset. They've got talent. The Giants have talent. We can't got to respect the opponent. They got Saquon, and anytime you've got a guy like Saquon in the backfield that can bust one open anytime, you got to respect that. And then again, Dallas and 49ers, it's all toss up. And like you said, that's why we love these playoffs. This is a great, great weekend for playoff football. And hopefully that Saturday night, I'm going to do my drinking Saturday night. Hopefully I'll be celebrating, and we'll see. We never know. We're going to find out. I think we've talked enough about it. I think the Eagles have practiced enough about it. I think it's time to get this thing going. Tomorrow night, 8:15 at the Link. The Eagles against the Giants in the divisional playoff. It is going to be fun. Let's have fun and enjoy ourselves. And because it, you know, playoffs like this, number one seeds, they don't happen all the time. So let's enjoy it. And hopefully we get back into the NFC Championship game. So that being said, thank you again for everyone that watches the live stream on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch. And if you're a regular podcast listener on Amazon Music, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, or so many of the others out there, thank you so much for subscribing and listening. If you're an Eagles fan, you know how much we love this game and we love this team, and we're glad to have you each and every week. If you want to email us and with any suggestions or any comments, you can do so at our email address. That's lee.bird, that's lee.byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. It is time for the divisional playoffs. Third time facing the Giants in 6 weeks. Let's do this. And with that all being said, I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final words of the week.
Yes, sir. Man. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by the Where It Was There podcast. Divisional round. Man, third time. Hopefully, we have a reverse Cowboys, and the Cowboys beat us three times that one season. Hopefully, we can do the same thing. If we take care of business, man, I think we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. Just don't let old Danny Dimes get to running. That's my problem. I just don't want him to run on us. I think we keep him in the pocket just fine. We'll be back here playing Fly Eagles Fly. With that said, Fly Eagles Fly.
And go Birds. Let's do this. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Birds!